Welcome to Becoming Your Greatest Possible Self. I am Chris Burns, America's number one motivational speaker for fiery inspiration and GPS coach for entrepreneurs and high achievers. Each episode, we interview leaders and great role models who make a massive impact in the world to help you master yourself, take courageous action, and make every day your best day ever. If you're an entrepreneur, an influencer, a visionary, coach, consultant, expert, and you want to impact more people, number one, if you haven't come on the 12-hour marathon yet, let's talk. Okay, I love attracting these guests who want to impact the world, world changers. So let's talk about that. Number two, if you want to create your own platform with a podcast or a channel or something like that, come talk to me as well. Would love to hear what your vision is, what your message is for the world. And last, if there's someone else who I can connect you with who could serve you and help you grow into your greatest possible self, please talk to me as well. I'm happy to connect you with these incredible guests who are on the show, like Tamara, who's about to come on, and the other incredible people who I'm surrounded by them. I swear, over 500 guests we've interviewed, and each and every one of them has their own gifts and purpose and message, and I'm just so inspired and humbled to be connected with them. So message me, chris@beyourgps.com, or find me on Facebook or Instagram and DM me. Would love to talk to you there. Next up is going to be the iTunes review of the week, and this week it's by Tiffany Luva Carter. And Tiffany says, every Wednesday I tune in to watch and listen to Chris Burns Live. He has the best guest and his energy is contagious. This is so helpful for me midweek when I start feeling overwhelmed. As a podcaster myself, he is one of the few people I regularly listen to. Go listen and subscribe now. I love this guy. Thank you so much, Tiffany. I appreciate you. And if you want to give us a review, go to beyourgps.com/iTunes or search Becoming Your Greatest Possible Self on the iTunes store and give us a review like that. Let us know what you love, what you want to see even more of on the show, how we can improve it. We love the feedback. Thank you so much in advance and thank you for tuning in. I love you. I appreciate you. Keep stepping into your greatest possible self. Make sure you subscribe to get all the latest updates as well. I'm going to introduce Tamara in just a second. Before that though, grab a piece of paper, grab a pen, be ready to take notes because this gold Tamara is about to share with you could make or break the relationships, the depth of connection and realness and authenticity for the rest of your life. And you don't want to let one of those ideas go by. So make sure you stay all the way through till the end because you never know what one idea that we talk about in this hour is going to change your life. So let's introduce Tamara and then we will bring her on the screen. Miss Tamara Blankenship is a relationship and awareness advocate, helping thousands of people unlock the fears of pain and discomfort through the deep understanding of patterns and communication. Follow along with Tamara on her latest endeavor in creating a new YouTube channel, Igniting the Soul, to discover better clarity, communication, and connection. And we're blessed to have her here with us today. Tamara, are you ready to rock the house, Superwoman? Is that a yes? That's a heck yes, right? It looks like there's a little bit of a lag.
I am. It's so good to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. So there was a little bit of lag, but it sounds like we're all in flow now in the present moment. Tamara, thank you so much for being here. I love your beautiful smile and blonde hair. You're just like radiant over there. Keep shining, girl. So we're going to dive right into the theme of today, which is getting paid for your story. Get paid for your story. So what does that mean for you, Tamara?
For me, it's all about sharing, getting a chance to help people recognize where they fall into pitfalls in their relationships and kind of sharing my journey and how it actually helped me unlock my stories and the situations that I fall into when I start getting trapped. And so I love sharing some of my personal experiences to give people a chance to kind of shift it and really have a better connection, new opportunities. So for me, it's all about connection through a heartfelt connection and getting a chance to share that story.
So good. I love it, Tamara. So let's dive into who you are, what you stand for, and what your clients come to you for. Why don't you share a little bit more about that? We having some technical challenges. Testing 1, 2, 3. Tamara, you still there? Yeah?
Yep, I guess we have a bad lag, so I apologize. I'm doing bits and pieces, so.
It's all good.
I have a blank stare on my face, I apologize.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Do you want to?
Actually, it's live TV, right? That's the way it rolls.
Yeah, you just go with the flow. So if we have another glitch, then we can stop the feed and then start it back up again real quick. Okay, so the Zoom link. So we'll do that if there's another lag. And until that point, what do people come to you for, Tamara? You're serving the world in a big way. How do you serve your clients? What do you stand for? Why don't you fill us in on that?
Absolutely. I gotcha. Even though it's kind of like a slow moving train.
How about this?
I think it's on my end, by the way.
I'm going to send you another Zoom link. I'm going to stop it and then send you one more. We'll see if it resets. Okay. I'll be right back. One sec. All right. We're doing this. She's coming back with the heat. Okay. So I'm going to start with the video. And if you're having a blast, let us know this. Technology. I love it. I love it when it works. It works. It works. It works. Let's do it one more time and see if we can make it rock. Send in the link over, Tamara. Give me 1 second. And we're back.
Hello. Let's see if that's better. Yay!
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So you heard the
question.
So
what do I stand for? Let's get to the nitty, right?
Let's go.
I am all about unconditional love and recognizing how we block love by our own actions and the way we actually carry our own communication sabotage and the way we communicate. And so I love helping people recognize that those pop-ups come up as opportunities to help you unravel and create a better chance to connect with people you love by recognizing them and taking ownership of the confusion and creating deeper connection because of it. So I have a belief that every time we get into a confrontation, it's an opportunity for clarity and deeper connection.
I love it. And, the things are going to happen. The conflicts are going to happen. Like,
are we still lagging?
I think so. It sounds like it. Coming through better?
A little bit. I can't tell on my end, so I apologize.
No, it's all good. I think there might be a little bit of lag. Do you want to try a different platform? Would FaceTime be better for you? Or do you think it's just Zoom? Do you want to try something else or keep going with this?
We can just keep on going. I'm a kind of roll with the go with the flow. It may even be my location with the internet, so it may not matter what signal or what platform we're on. So who knows?
All right, we'll give it a shot. But, and hey, I would love to have you on regardless again if this one doesn't work out, because I want you to have a great interview and a great connection, because our audience wants to learn from you. So let's go back into the journey, and feel free to share as much as you'd like about your journey and especially how you got into teaching about relationships, communicating about relationships and communication in general, and empowering people with that. Where did that all begin for you?
So it all started a long time ago when I was very young. I experienced sexual assault at a very early age of 5. And I recognized I felt so uncomfortable and awkward, so much to the point where I started having other issues. I started creating an eating disability by withholding food and restricting it. That was my coping skill in navigating it, because I was so little, I didn't have many tools at that time. Of course, I didn't know back then that that's what I was doing, but it showed up then. It continued to accelerate and go through my academics. I started having dyslexia and all kinds of, I mean, if you know anything about the brain, withholding nutrition is going to kind of slow you down.
Yeah.
So it perpetuated, and it made me feel even more awkward and socially unacceptable. So it just magnified that whole, I am ugly, I am unworthy. Mm-hmm. And I just started playing really small. And I had that incredible desire to be friends with everyone. I wanted to be accepted and loved for who I was. Mm-hmm. Problem was, I wasn't loving myself, right? Because we were, you know, you're in that spin of I am ugly and I am unworthy, that intense shame mm-hmm. blocked my connection. So as I started to get older, I started watching it pop up in everywhere. It was in relationship. As I, you know, started to go off and get married and have my own children, started to recognize a little bit of the behavior still existing. Even though I had coping skills now, I was still showing up with some of the, you know, the faulty belief systems that you establish to survive the experience. And later on, I go through a very interesting divorce and realize the whole reason there was this major dysfunction in the divorce. There were, of course, his elements and my elements are very separate, but I saw one leading factor was the way we communicated was very disconnected. And, you know, when we communicate, I feel that we are so desperate to feel connected and understood, that a lot of the times we're focused on this agenda that I want to be understood instead of connecting to the fact that I need to help someone understand me. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds a little confusing, like this may even be the same thing, but it's really not. When we show up listening first and kind of inviting or asking someone to listen to us, mm-hmm. we kind of take down walls and create a potential, a possibility of connection and understanding. Mm-hmm. So we have to really learn how to ask, to be invited, to share, to connect, and not just assume someone's ready to hear you or assume that someone doesn't understand you, because sometimes they just don't have all the information. Or it could be even just the simple fact that you're approaching someone when they're not ready. They're not open to receive what you're presenting. So it's learning to read people. It's learning to understand your emotional, you know, roller coaster that you're personally on, and really get clear on what you're thinking and how you're feeling before you enter into something. It can be a conversation with your child. It could be a conversation with a loved one. It really, you know, with a spouse, it really doesn't matter. It's more about how you're showing up is what you're pulling in. And a lot of my clients will struggle with repetitive patterns because it's kind of working itself out, right? We continue to do these things over and over again until we learn that they're no longer serving us. And in communication, in relationships, especially an outside by choice lover. So I'm thinking not like mom and dad and not like your children, but a husband or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Those are by choice lovers. You know, we get to choose those people. And a lot of the times we think they know us and we assume that they get us to such a deep level. But sometimes we're disconnected because their interpretation or their filter of the way they see us isn't exactly who we are. So we have to really kind of open up to the perspective and allow someone to share with us the way they're seeing us. And it is true about any relationship. It's not necessarily just by choice lovers, but we have to kind of create a safe place for dialogue. And I feel like a lot of the times when we have relationships, we're going in invested and attached to the outcome instead of creating, you know, a space of communication and connection. So that's where I really love to play, is helping people recognize how they're showing up is really creating the results they're getting. And it's not an outside experience. It's not a personal business. This is a opportunity for connection and deeper relationships. It's kind of a fun opportunity to play.
Gold. Yeah, this is so good. And I want to know, like, what were the realizations or the discoveries early on for you in your journey that made the biggest difference in your relationships and in your communication? You might have mentioned a couple of them already. So if you did, that's let's okay. go deeper into them. But I would love to hear what those are.
My aha moments, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a really kind of interesting experience. I started to recognize how much when I was very young, I would kind of restrict, like I said earlier, the nutrition aspect. That was my way to control. Everyone thought I was a picky eater. I think when you're young, we kind of dismiss a lot of these behavior expressions as just, you know, adolescence, and they'll outgrow it, which a lot of the times you do because you develop more coping skills or you go into a different way of bypass instead of dealing with the one you were. It gets more intense, more magnified. So I think what's kind of interesting is I started to recognize that I was shame talking. I was very early. I remember walking home from school as a young child and going, oh my gosh, nobody's your friend because you're ugly. You're too fat. You're this, you're that. And of course, none of it was true, but it's what I used to kind of play small. One day I asked myself, why does it matter? Like, I just really had this deep realization that they're never going to get me because I'm too bizarre or too different for them to get me. And I was communicating more with adults, and I would connect real deeply with adults or older, you know, just older. It didn't matter, you know, like grandparents, you know, it didn't really matter, but teachers I'd connect really well with, or extremely young people. My own age bracket, I just struggled with being accepted. So I recognize that it may not be a real thing. It may be a temporary thing. So that was my first aha moment, was like, huh, I'm really making a judgment that I am not loved because in this time of my life, I'm not matching with the mentality or the, I think it's kind of like that whole do as everyone else does kind of mentality. I was always kind of trying to, you know, understand, and nobody really wanted to be deep then, you know, when you're a teenager, you're just trying to get through, just pass the grades, finish school, you know, and I'm sort of like, why do you think that way? Where did that come from? Why do you not like me? You know, I was very analytical in that way. So I think it just kind of popped through that there was something unique about the way I cared for people. The other thing I was told a lot as a child is that I was a quick forgiver. And I think a lot of that's because I could always see that it was a temporary phase. Like, people get angry and then the next day they weren't angry anymore. Or they would get emotionally invested in like telling you something. I remember my teacher, you know, getting very angry with me, and I'm going, well, I don't understand what I did wrong. And then I realized, oh, she's probably having a bad day. You know, like, start to really, you know what I mean? You start to kind of compartmentalize and not make it personal. And that really kind of broke some of that belief systems. Now, it wasn't fast. I make it sound like it was like one day I just decided. It was a slow process of surrender. It really is a process of letting go. And it's not surrender like quit, the red flag, I guess the red flags of relationships running through my head right now. It's not a white flag. It's not like I quit, I give up, you know, they're going to think that anyway. It's not that kind of give up. It's the let go of, you know, I'm going to change me for other people to like me. I started to love myself, and I started to really invest in understanding that it was okay that somebody didn't like me or they didn't get me. Or I remember one little girl telling me, you're just too nice. And I'm going, what does that mean? I don't even understand that. Yeah. So if you start to recognize that you're uncomfortable is the reason they pushed me away. And I was okay with that. I just recognized that I was uncomfortable because I was present and it was difficult. And that started to really kind of trickle. Now, going through divorce and navigating it with young children, my kids actually had eating sensitivities, and it created a really cool experience for me about my relation with food. And it unwinded a lot of my eating sensitivities and disorders that I was creating as a child, and really started to recognize how to feed the body. So I started to unravel my eating disorder by becoming mindful of what food's purpose was, which was kind of a cool way to kind of unravel from an eating disorder. I know, you know, not all eating disorders are the same, but I started to recognize how to love myself with food and not control and restrict it and communicate my emotions. I did journaling. I mean, a lot of these things, I think we all know these tools and don't use them. You know, every morning I do morning pages. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but it's just a simple process of writing 3 pages, no more, no less. And I call it brain dumping. I take out the trash. I literally encourage people to just unravel so that your day is started off fresh and clear. And my creativity got so much stronger with it. Wow. So I started using that at a very early age. And that was a really big aha moment where I was like, okay, I've got all these invested belief systems that aren't necessarily mine. There are a lot of like bless my mom's heart, there's a lot of things that she shared with me and my dad, you know, their belief systems from they got from their parents, you know, the whole, you know, carried on from until somebody unravels it and lets go of it.
Yep.
So I really, you know, feel like a lot of it's history as well, right? As you know, it's like the belief systems of family over time that we invest is our belief systems. But we don't necessarily agree with them. We don't necessarily even understand where they came from, but we still want to, you know, be esteemed or valued by our family and our history and our lineage. And I think that a lot of the times we get invested in being seen as I am such and such because this is where I came from and this is what I'm supposed to be. I see that a lot with men. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, I get what
that
you mean.
That really invested.
Especially like to be carrying that unconsciously. A lot of people don't even know that they're carrying these beliefs. I think a common one is about money, right? And people don't even know that they're carrying and harboring these limiting beliefs about, you know, money doesn't grow on trees. It's not easy to come by. You know, it takes a lot of hard work. Like all these, yeah, exactly. All these like self-sabotaging, small, playing small, limiting, fear-based, scarcity-based beliefs that people aren't even aware of that they're carrying, but when they are operating, it's like it's the mainframe, it's the programming that's running the show. And until they become aware of it and unravel it, as you've been saying, like then they don't have power over it. It has power over them. And I think it takes a lot of questioning. And I hear you were really curious as well growing up, which is such a I think one of the most important beliefs or characteristics, so to speak, of people who are growth oriented, people who are going to evolve, because it takes being willing to question. It takes being willing to say, okay, here's the status quo. Here's what has been, you know, the norm and the standard, and I'm going to expand. I'm gonna see this box, and I'm gonna say, what else can we do outside of this box? What else can this box become? What else can this thing become? Absolutely. How can we transform, transmute? What happens when I press this or that or do this or that? And I think it's that Absolutely. Playfulness and the curiosity that really brings a lot of consciousness and love and awareness to us in our life.
Absolutely. That brings up a really cool thought that you popped up for me right now. I remember as a kid being told that I was dyslexic. Still am. Didn't change. I experienced dyslexia. That's my new way of saying it. I don't have it. I experience it. It's okay. And you know what's really kind of fun about that is I remember that's when I realized labels limit. And I really, I think that happened to me when I was in eighth grade. And my father sat me down and said, you know what? You really don't have dyslexia. You just don't. And in his own way, it was, you're just not going to admit it because you're admitting it and you're limiting yourself. You're not expanding beyond it. Wow. And so I did, I got really trapped in this belief system and stayed small. And then I realized he's right. I don't need to believe any of that. I have a choice to believe that. So it shifted for me in a big way where I just recognized, yep, I experienced I call them brain funks, you know, moments where my brain goes sideways and I'm like, huh, that was pretty funny. I remember one day I was talking to somebody on the phone. I said, you know, oh my gosh, have you ever tried fish legs? And my kids in the other room started laughing so hard. They're like, Mom, fish legs? Do you know what you're talking about? I meant frog legs, but whatever. You know? So it's moments like that, that if you can really embrace humor and laugh and be playful with yourself, it is so powerful. It is so healing and it's so loving to be that way with yourself. And not get hung up on these belief systems that, oh, I sound like an idiot. Well, yeah, you did sound silly, but it's okay to be silly. It's actually kind of fun, you know, and really give yourself a little self-love and celebrate that. But I think we do as a society, I think we have these rigid belief systems and some serve, some work great. You know, we have to have structure. I'm not an anti-structure girl. But I definitely understand that when we get so invested in the structure, we lose sense of connection, of feeling, and really having purpose. Mm. We get too systematic, almost robotic, and we lose connection to each other. You know, you're the husband, you're the wife, you're the feeder, you're the earner. You know, it's fascinating how these little systems pop up. Mm. And, you know, we were talking, remember when we were doing our little pre-chat, we were talking about the roles and how they're starting to shift. You know, men are finally getting a chance to really have power behind their feelings and really connect to that. And women are getting a chance to be powerful voice people in our community and really create change, which is awesome. Both deserve it. It's a beautiful thing. But we're going to the extreme where we're taken. We're taken from each other. We're minimizing each other in the process. We're losing connection. People are asking me all the time, well, maybe marriage isn't supposed to be forever. You know, I mean, it's an investment. It's a choice to be in marriage. You know, it's an everyday promise to yourself and the person you committed to. That is just like anything else in our lives. We get to choose to participate in that space or not. To sit there and say, I fell out of love. Well, you know, it doesn't really happen that way, but loving. Yeah, I can see that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It is a choice. We make those choices. And I do believe people do grow and change over time and they start to evolve their belief systems. And there are times where you're growing faster than your mate, you know, and sometimes you may surpass, but those are opportunities for conversation and connection. And if you love someone, and you're in a space where there is that severe disconnection, you cannot communicate, and you're having so much, you know, negative talk, and you're not in a healthy place, you have to let go. You have to accept the fact that there is you're creating more pain than joy, and there is an ownership of that. And I think a lot of us, you know, go straight off to divorce with anger and rage when there's an opportunity to be peaceful in that space. So I'm a big advocate for, you know, getting a chance to really speak about how you feel before you even go through divorce and, you know, really getting a chance. I work with, you know, folks who are going through divorce. I work with a lot of men dealing with, you know, disconnection and feeling like they're disrespected by their spouses and feeling hurt by the way women show up, because we're very much, I think women for the most part are finally getting a chance to be very powerful.
Yeah.
And there's a very big, what do I want to say that's loving? There's a very big exchange for that behavior, right? I mean, we have to be respectful of that kind of power. And I think there is a gentle feminine essence that should be present in a female's power. And I used to always say, I don't believe women should be strong. I think they should be clear and confident. I think men should be strong because they're supposed to be the supporting systems. And there's a nurture versus nature, you know, and there's that whole, you know what I'm saying? There's a really important understanding of our elements of how we contribute to each other in our growth.
Yeah.
And I, you know, we don't want to be strong fisted women. We want to be powerful, but not strong fisted.
Yeah, this is great. I love how you said, you know, men are really learning how to communicate their emotions, number one. Women are learning how to own their voices. And there's this evolution that's going on, which is absolutely beautiful. And I think it's also
so cool.
a remembering of what was there all along. It's just people lost touch with it and they didn't recognize it and own that they had these gifts in themselves. And I also love how you said about, in terms of growing and a couple growing, a romantic partnership growing, there might be times where it's a little unbalanced and someone is excelling and doing these things faster. And I think as long as there's communication and constantly coming back to the values that the couple shares and saying, hey, do we still value the same things? Are these things that we agreed upon yesterday or a year ago or 10 years ago, are they still the priority? Is that still truly who I am? Or have I discovered a new truth and it would be out of integrity, out of alignment with me to continue in the relationship, pretending like that value is still the priority that it was when we first began?
Absolutely. And there's the word right there. You're pretending. You're not being real. You're not vulnerable and genuine to the relationship. You're totally disconnected when you start pretending. You're minimizing yourself. You're playing small. You're not showing up. When you grow, you're pulling people with you. I hate to say it that way, but you are, when you change the script around you changes. It's just a natural state. I tell my clients all the time, you start to change your voice, friends that used to kind of, you know, you used to think were your best friends are going to fall because you're changing the way you interact.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. The ones who are willing to grow with you are the ones who are excited and want to be a part of the growth. Mm. The ones who don't aren't ready. It's not that they're bad. They're not doing anything wrong. They're not bad people. Mm. They're just not ready. And that's something you should respect too. That's a very important element that we don't pull people in the sense that we want, you know, come on, we're going to do this, kicking and screaming, you know, just you can't. You have to invite. And I think a lot of the times this sounds terrible, But when I have women invite their spouse to our work, mm-hmm. Men are usually like, yeah, no. Nope. You're already on her side. I'm not going to sit in this. I'm going to get my butt chewed out or whatever. They have this little crazy belief system going on. And unfortunately, it's a very neutral place and they didn't get a chance to try it on their own. Wow. So they have this belief system that mm-hmm. they're going to be bullied and badgered, which is traditionally what men would experience, right? I mean, really? Right? Yep. Unfortunately, it's so. But, you know, there's a really cool opportunity there mm-hmm. for people to connect and find a new way to interact. Mm. So I love it and it's so funny, usually when the guy invites me, a woman's like, finally, someone's going to understand my perspective. And I'm always like, oh, you have no idea. So it is kind of fun, really cool play place. You know, I get a chance to help her hear her voice mm-hmm. and the dysfunction and the way she projects and the way she shares, you know, you do da da da. And the guy's like, rolling his eyes, you know, not looking, not paying attention, you know. It is so cliche to say that. And I am seeing the roles flip. It is a bizarre experience to see now men be more like, she's never available, she's never home, blah, blah, blah. It is so fascinating as the roles have changed. So I have started to look at this as female energy and male energy experiences, and not necessarily man or woman, because it really is an energetic expression. It's not necessarily a male always acting in a male's role. Sometimes the woman is so masculine, the male has to act out the female role. It's really fascinating.
Wow, that's incredible. So is that something
interesting, right?
Yeah, is that something you would recommend in terms of like putting?
So and we should bounce.
Go ahead.
No, it's okay. We have a little bit of a lag again. sorry. I was going to say it's not necessarily wrong. I just want people to understand that there's always a feminine energy and a masculine energy in every relationship. And it doesn't mean because a male's carrying it that he's a female. Mm. It's just an energetic expression. And it doesn't mean he gave up his man card. None of that. It's just a balance of energy. We can't have two men in a relationship and two women in a relationship. Even if they are physically two men and two women, there's always one that's got a little bit more of a feminine attribute and one that's got a little more masculine attribute. And it's a beautiful thing about the way our world works is we keep balance in the relationship. And it's a very natural, very unconditional, loving thing we do for each other. And, you know, a lot of the times, like right now in my personal relationship, I am more, I am pushing the business. I am much more in my masculine voice. Mm. But I've also learned, and this is where I put the balance back, I've learned to keep it soft and feminine. And it is a very important skill to master, because when we communicate, we can really, I find communication to be a true sword. You either can use it to stand as strength, and you can also poke and prod and hurt. So you have to be very careful how you use your words to connect with each other. Because it's like, you know, you can open up the flower or shut it down. It's very simple. It's not complicated. Mm. We make it complicated. But anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. So in terms of having communication that really pulls people to us, that really attracts that opening, you know, the opening of people to be expressive and real with us, what are some aspects? How can we practice that? How can we do that more effectively, whether it's a man or a woman in the audience? How can we communicate so that it invites people to open up with us?
Absolutely. Great question. If you missed it here because of the video chopping up, I actually have a stop, drop, and roll video on my YouTube channel that talks about this, uh-huh. but I talk about it in a kid, a parent to a kid. Mm-hmm. And the reason I do it that is because I think a lot of the times we can hear better when we're thinking of something outside of love, mm-hmm. you know, like outside of, you know, a chosen love. So anyway, the way to really understand this is when you are communicating, you have to stop. You have to stop and be present. Don't be distracted. Don't let the busyness around you take over. And really be present to what's going on. Mm. Drop everything. Don't, you know, be present to your, you know, you may have opinions about what someone's experiencing or sharing. Mm. But if you were not asked or you did not ask to share, it's judgment, flat out. You cannot... if you're not invited to share your opinion, it's judgment. if you do not ask to share your opinion, it is judgment. Wow. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So a lot of us think that we're just helping. A lot of times they don't want help. A lot of the times we just want to be heard. Women talk about that a lot, but I also see my men doing that too. She's always trying to make it better or tell me how to do it or da 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 da. You know, we call it nagging in women and we call it controlling in men, but it's really the same expression. We're not allowing someone to ask us to open up, to be present for us to give advice, and we're not allowing them to open up to receive the advice. So you have to be very careful. And the last one is roll. Let somebody else kind of roll with it and share and learn from their experiences. Don't try to tell them that they're doing it wrong because you may be wrong. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts, your perspective is through your filter. And quite often we are not, you know, privy to all the information. We only have snippets and the snippets may not be out of clarity. There may be emotions attached in the way they're sharing the information. So sometimes when somebody tells you a part of a story, it's not all the details. It's just their version of the experience. So we have to really step back and recognize from a neutral perspective, someone sharing a painful experience or sharing something about their day that they may still be emotionally invested in. Mm-hmm. So you have to just learn to be a really good listener and a good witness to someone's experience. Mm-hmm. So they can figure it out. And if they want insight, you would say, you know, hey, I really appreciate, you know, you sharing with me. Would you like me to share with you what I would do? Or maybe you'd like to even say, you know, I get that can be really intense. You know, I've been there. Would you like me, you know, to offer some insight? You can ask permission, but you have to ask permission. Yeah. That's the part where we mess up. Most of us shut people down before we even get an opportunity to support someone.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I love how it's as simple as asking, right? Just asking for permission.
It is. It's like, very basic.
It's like the smallest thing, but it makes the biggest difference in the energy of the conversation. Instead of just saying, going at it and making them wrong and having them be triggered and feel invalidated and that kind of stuff. And small, like you're saying, hey, like, I get it. I have some suggestions. Do you want to hear? And at that point, then they're like a willing participant to receive it.
Yes.
Versus yes. Having to defend themselves. They're more open and generous and receptive and
they're collaborative.
Yeah. They can feel vulnerable and connected. And I love that you said collaborative. That's a great word.
The reason that happens, and I think a lot of us don't realize this. Everyone denies that they have shame. We all have it, unfortunately. It's a part of our reality.
Yep.
It's part of our human experience. We need the negative and the positive. We can't feel the positive without the negative. We wouldn't know positive without the negative. So we have to allow ourselves to have both. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the times when someone's sharing something, they have an internal judgment going. Either they're shameful that they did something or they're angry that something happened and they feel misseen or unseen or not validated. You know what I'm trying to say. Yeah. None of those words are making sense. They're not being respected. They're not being received. So they have this real invested belief that they are already bad. So anything you say, even if it's positive and uplifting, they're not going to hear it because they already are blocked by their own judgments and their own belief systems. So even if you want to be loving and supporting to someone who's shut down,
say that again.
I lost you again with the lag, didn't I?
You said even if you're.
I said I think I lost you again with the lag.
Yeah, we're back. You said even if you're wanting to support someone who's shut down, what were you going to say after that?
I think it's really important for us to understand why it shows up and not make a story about it, because I think we get so invested in trying to know somebody and where they're coming from. Instead of pausing and waiting for the story to come meet us. I'm a big believer of meeting someone in the middle, not you going over into their space or they're making them come to your space. It's really about a collaborative experience, and communication has two parts, a speaker and a listener. And if we don't pay attention to our listening skills, we miss out by over talking and we lose the opportunity to connect with each other because of that. We're invested in the wrong skill. We're invested in telling versus listening.
This is so great. And for all the men out there, I can say one of my biggest like benefits and pieces of wisdom from my relationship that you said earlier, Tamara, is just learning to listen. And I find that when I just allow my girlfriend to communicate and just share her perspective, yeah. oftentimes she'll share her frustration and like what is like annoying at her or eating at her or like not sitting well with her, whatever it is, whether it's with life or with our relationship, whatever. And as she's speaking, because I give her space just to communicate and almost over communicate whatever she's going through, she mm-hmm. almost talks her way out of the frustration and out of the whatever the pain or the difficulty that she's going through. And instead of being stuck there and me trying to resist it or block that communication, instead of that, she's able to communicate it mm-hmm. and kind of lead herself out mm-hmm. to a more enlightened and loving perspective, because I just there and there being a witness. I'm just there holding space. I'm just there listening. And I know that's one of the biggest values that I can bring to our relationship is like just being a mirror there, like listening to her. Don't tune out. Don't like, you know, pay attention to something else and just let her talk at you. Be with her, listening to her. And you don't have to say anything all the time. You know, you don't have to say something all the time to let her know that you're there. You can just be there and breathe and like look into her eyes and say,
yeah,
I hear you. You know?
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. The reason that's happening, I don't know if you've come to this awareness, is she's a verbal processor.
Yeah.
And a lot of us women are verbal processors because we've been allowed to feel our feelings for so long. And unfortunately for men who've never been allowed to have verbal processing, they're more internal processors. And so they're fixers. Mm. A lot of the times they will go, okay, here's a problem, fix it real quick before anybody, you know, like they don't really process because they haven't been given permission to process. Mm. But women, boy, are we talented at it. You know, we are really good at sharing and we're really good at communicating the little details about our discomfort. And for a man, that's really uncomfortable. I mean, it really is, because they're like, ooh, she's uncomfortable. How can I help her? What can we do? We want to put out the fire. You know, that's natural. And it's actually, there's actually a reason for that. That's part of your collaborative effort into the relationship. A lot of us women don't understand that we didn't set the stage for success. We didn't say, hey, you know what? I'm really just needing to be heard for a minute. Would you mind if I share my feelings? And then they're like, oh yeah, sure, absolutely. But if you don't ask for permission, they're going to go into their default, their natural instincts to try to make something better. But it's a beautiful part of a man. It is not something we should minimize. And I think a lot of women go, well, he's just trying to fix me. He's not trying to fix you. He's trying to fix the problem. It's not that you're broken. He recognizes you're uncomfortable and he loves you so much that he wants to support you in a way to bring you back to your joy. Men want to create joy. And they want to be a part of happiness, part of joy. And women want to cultivate, nurture joy. So it's really kind of important to understand that it's not, it's just misinvited. So it's really interesting. I love that you shared that. Thank you.
From the bottom of my heart, thank you for tuning in. Right now, we've reached the end of this episode, but this is the start of a whole new beginning. Each and every moment, you have an opportunity to rewrite your story. Right here, right now, decide and commit who you are going to be. Think about how you will use these ideas, wisdom, and inspiration to make the difference in your life. What actions will you take today and every day to step into your greatest possible self? Again, a big shout out to our sponsor, EmployeeEscapePlan.com. If you're committed to learning how to truly harness your abilities and passions to serve the people who are hungry and desperate for what you have to offer, make a great income off of your genius, or if you're ready to get more clients to pay you more money, head over to www.employeeescapeplan.com and let Joe know you were sent by Chris. Did you enjoy this episode? Let your friends know about it. Share the website beyourgps.com and send me some love on social media.
If you want to clarify your vision, uncover blind spots, get more energy, tap into your flow, and take massive action, head over to beyourgps.com/coaching to schedule some time into my calendar. Now, master yourself, create your reality, and make every day your best day ever.